All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get right into it. We're not going to waste your time. We're going to get straight into the topics because we got a game on Monday. I know everybody's going to enjoy Sunday football, but let's go ahead and start, man. We want to dive right in. We're going to start with Alan here about Aaron Rodgers. Does Rodgers have Miami's number? Talk to us, man. What is your thoughts?
We're going to shout out our sponsors first, TD.
No. When you make a transition, we will.
Okay. Does Aaron Rodgers have the Dolphins' number? Well, he actually had probably two of his better games last year against the Dolphins. Both the one the Dolphins won in overtime here, 32-26, and the one in the season finale. But that game, I have a massive asterisk on that game. Why? Because the Dolphins were still in contention for the playoffs heading into that day. They're watching the scoreboard, which was all over the place at MetLife Stadium, and seeing early, like in the second quarter, it's 28-3 Denver against Kansas City. And they're like, they know they're done. And if you think that doesn't affect the level of play, I mean, that was part of the reason I do believe that Tyreek kind of called out, because it's like, we're not making the playoffs anyway. That's a different story. We do not need to revisit. Having said all that, Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback, and he has had some success. The Dolphins did beat him in Green Bay in 2010 in the game they won in overtime when Cameron Wake had three sacks. So it's not like they've never beaten him. There was a famous Queasy game. Omar, remember that? The Queasy game was against Green Bay.
Hold on. What about Wheeler's, Philip Wheeler's, like?
That was a Queasy game.
That was a Queasy game? Okay,
That
was a Queasy game. Why was I covering?
where Joe Philbin was asked why he didn't throw the ball in an obvious passing situation late in the game, and he said, well, I was feeling a little bit queasy there. And then, as memory serves, and then the Packers came in and came down and scored a game-winning touchdown when Philip Weaver was asked to cover tight end David Martin and in the post-game locker room.
I can't remember all those details. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't name you the tight end. My life depended on it.
We digress. So having said all that, here's the thing. The Steelers right now are not a great. They're 7-6, but they're like a 7-6. They're like 27th in total defense and 28th in total offense, or vice versa.
Well coached, though. Well coached.
Are they, though?
Yeah, they're old squad, but they're getting a lot of old squad. Okay, are you questioning Mike Tomlin's coaching ability?
I am questioning, yes, because he's in charge of the defense, and I had the publisher of Steelers on SI, Noah Strackbein, on the All Dolphins podcast this week, and he told me they run the exact same defense every single solitary week, even as it's getting pounded. And the defense stole two games against New England and against Indianapolis with turnovers. But they're not necessarily doing great stopping the run. So anyway, I'm like getting off track here. Aaron Rodgers, it is a tough challenge. And the Dolphins will have their hands full because he's a lot better than Brady Cook. He's better than Marcus Mariota. And he's better than, who was the one before that? Tyler Shuck.
Let me ask you, gentlemen, a question. And before I answer this question, because I'm a little bothered by us considering, a meager 6-7. 6-7 is nothing to frown about, especially when you're 3-1 in your division. Which division would you say is traditionally, I don't necessarily mean this year, but I'm not excluding this year, traditionally the toughest? The AFC East, the AFC North, or the AFC South?
How about the AFC West?
I think they're the toughest. I do think they're the toughest division.
AFC North, obviously, yeah.
Traditionally, yeah, but this year it sucks. I mean,
Baltimore can get.
Is not right. Baltimore hasn't been right all year. Cincinnati couldn't stop a cold for most of the season, and Burrow was out for a long time. Cleveland is Cleveland, and the Steelers, again, are not a very – this is not a great team. They're like one and done if they wind up winning the division.
Okay, and if they do win the division and get into the playoffs, mm-hmm. which AFC South team do you think could beat them? Jacksonville, Houston?
Jacksonville, Indy, Houston.
Oh, all three?
Indy with Phillip Rivers, yes.
I don't think any of them. Maybe Houston, but I don't think any of those teams could actually beat them. I think that whole division is a fraud, to be honest with you.
I agree with TD on this one. I really think everybody in the AFC South is a fraud.
Really?
Indy, I had a lot of respect for. But And they
Rivers now is open season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a belief in a 44-year-old quarterback. I do love Philip Rivers, but I don't have a belief in a 44-year-old quarterback, 40 pounds heavier, coming off his couch is going to save the season. Now, great story if it is, if he does. And I think it might seal it, because I didn't think he was a first ballot Hall of Famer to begin with. But you take the Colts far in the playoffs postseason, you just take them to the postseason, maybe win a game after getting off your couch. Oh, man, you done sealed your first ballot Hall of Fame right there.
In Jacksonville, I don't believe Trevor Lawrence is going to take them anywhere. In Houston, riding the back of their defense. Now, they're improving.
They were a very good defense in the
league. It's like the best defense in the league. I mean, that's
the team that's the biggest threat. But I still think it's the AFC North because, Allen, I mean, yeah, they're down this year, but that's really because of quarterback injuries.
Yep.
Joe Burrow missed all those games. Lamar Jackson wasn't he out too?
Yes, he was.
He's not been right.
He hasn't been right. And I'm glad you say that, because anybody watching Baltimore, and I have watched Baltimore, if you're looking at Baltimore, that's not Lamar Jackson.
Nope.
It's not. But yeah, I would have to say AFC North is still tough. Here's my thing about Aaron Rodgers. I don't really fear Aaron Rodgers. I fear the Pittsburgh Steelers. The team as a whole. See, the thing about them is they'll lose a game that they shouldn't lose, but they also win a game that they shouldn't win. So, and that's the problem with them. And I'm a firm believer in what have you showed me lately. Yeah, their defense may not be that great, but how did their defense play against an offense that everybody should fear in Cincinnati last week? They held them to 12 points.
They played Baltimore last week.
Yeah, you're right. Let's go back to a few weeks ago whenever they beat up on Cincinnati. And they barely lost to the Bears, which is another high-flying team as well. And they did beat the Ravens. Obviously, it's not the Lamar Jackson that we're used to, but are we going to give Pittsburgh credit of making him also look like that?
They also got some hellacious calls, including Isaiah Likely's touchdown catch. That's not a catch because he didn't run a marathon after catching the ball in the end zone. So
I actually thought it wasn't a touchdown catch.
Really?
Okay. I initially thought it was, and then when I couldn't get a third step in, nah.
It's the whole rule of if he was going out of bounds, it would have been a completion.
Correct.
But since it's in the end zone, where is the establishment? And that's why it wasn't.
If you got two feet in and then didn't control the ball to the ground, not a touchdown.
Well, which is true.
But go to the ground. That's it.
Didn't control the ball. He took two feet.
If it's the correct call, then the rule is stupid. Because I think if anybody ask 100 football fans or football writers or whatever, do you think that should have been a catch? How many do you think that should have been a catch?
Hold on now.
Rule aside. Did that look like a catch?
You think it should have been a catch?
Yes.
It should be a catch, but the rule, it's not.
I think the three steps, I got to see three steps.
But why three steps in the middle of the end zone, but it's okay to only have two steps if you're going out of bounds?
But you still have to maintain possession even if you're going out of bounds. You can get two steps in, but you got to have possession of the ball going to the ground.
Not if somebody wipes it out of your hand like the guy. Why are we spending so much time on that thing? Anyway, all I'm saying is they did beat Baltimore, which is not the Baltimore that we all know. Yeah. And they're 7-6 and they have played some good football. But and this is not just me. Again, like I talked to my dude in Pittsburgh who's telling me like he could not be less.
But their standards are ridiculous in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Their standards are what Dolphins standards.
They haven't won a playoff game since 2016. But they haven't won a playoff game since 2016.
Their standards are what Dolphins standards were in 2000. Mm. That, you know, when you're a dynasty, you're expecting championships. And, yeah, they had an old man Ben, Big Ben, basically, on fumes. They drafted some quarterbacks. It didn't work out. Welcome to the NFL. And they've been on the retread machine since in Russell Wilson and what's Aaron the kid
Rodgers
by
the way I tweeted this for you T this week my dude in Pittsburgh is telling me Skylar Thompson was the best quarterback on this roster
trying to say he was the best one on this one too, but y'all ain't got it yet. No, stop.
Listen, I love Skyler. And Skyler, hey, who knows what Skyler can be when you're motivated by your career potentially coming to an end and a team that invested in you, giving up on you. So props to Skyler. I've always been a Skyler fan. I'm not going to ride that he's ready to be an NFL starter, but Skyler could be my backup any day. And I don't think the Seattle game was an accurate reflection of who he was as a quarterback. That man broke his ribs in the game, and he tried to continue to tough it out.
That dude looked over his skis from the beginning. He looked
Skyler here, man.
Overwhelmed. Sorry, TD. Those are facts. And here's the problem.
So did Tyler Snoop. I mean, whatever Snoop Huntley. all season, every game he played as a starter.
No, he's just in an offense that completely has nothing to do with his skill set. Skyler to the same degree, but Skyler, for as long as he's been with the Dolphins, to look the way he did, frazzled and like look confused, deer in the headlights. That Seattle game was
wrong. He was a rookie quarterback.
He wasn't. Not in 2024, he wasn't. That was his third year in the system.
I'm just saying he was a newbie quarterback. I won't call it a rookie. He was a newbie quarterback, fresh meat.
Well, okay. Since we're talking still on the Pittsburgh Steelers game, let's go ahead and quickly talk about this matchup, though. First off, who you got in it and why? I guess I'll start. For me, I'm more concerned about Pittsburgh's terrible defense that everybody says is terrible. You know, I really look at all of their matchups, and I'm going to be quite honest with you. When they play a team that isn't a dual threat, they actually dominate. And this is what a lot of people aren't recognizing. And I'll ask you guys, when you look at the Bengals, they obviously have a massive passing threat, right? You look at the Bears, they've come to have a good passing threat. You look at the Bills, they have a passing threat, passing game with Josh Allen. And you look at the Ravens, they usually do, but they made Lamar look pretty bad, and Lamar's not playing great. The thing about this game for me that scares me, everybody talks about how bad they are in the run. And I know you've spoken to some people to say they run the same base defense every week. But they run that balanced defense because they're dealing with teams that can run and pass the ball. We're dealing with a Miami situation where all we can do is run the ball right now. And I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin is going to challenge our passing game and sell out on a run. And that's the question for me. If they do that, will we be able to make them pay for it? And that's where my concern is. Thinking about Ramsey and Jonnu, what the information they're able to provide, I'm a little worried about that.
I pray that that's how Mike Tomlin plays. I pray it is, because the Tua that I know, the Tua that I have seen for 5+ seasons, with the exception of probably a 6-game stretch
the last year and a half. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is a Tua that has carved up NFL defenses when they want to stack the boxes and force them to run. I have seen it. You have seen how many 100-rated games have you seen from Tua Tagovailoa? Gosh. Tua, whatever his middle name is, Tagovailoa, Oose. You have seen it.
Turned the ball over.
Tua turned the ball over. Listen, he turned the ball over this season. But we also know Tua, 100-rated quarterback most seasons.
You now, know that guy, Omar. You know that guy.
He is far from it right now. But I have a belief that he will turn the switch on at some point this season. Some point. I know it's a cold game. I know it's on national TV. I know he's got the odds stacked against him because these are all that it's a tough division. It's a tough AFC opponent, playoff caliber team. I know. But at some point, Tua is going to put his cape on.
Omar, you still believe?
Cape on. He ain't.
Listen.
Wow.
He's acknowledged something is wrong. He's acknowledged.
And like that, he's going to get it back on a night when it's going to be 20 degrees and the wind gusts are about up to 20 miles an hour. Really? That's going to happen in this game? Sure.
You got to believe. And even if I didn't believe, I need to see it with my own eyes. I need to see him flutter passes in the gust winds. I need
It'll flutter all right, like a butterfly.
I need to see him not be able to connect with Waller and Waddle. I need to see him buckle to the pressure of a defense playing without J.J. Watt.
TJ. Neither of them.
My bad. Why do I always think it's J.J.? TJ Watts, yes, but little Watts. I'm just call him Little Watts from now on. I have to see it before I'm ready to stick my fork in him. I need to see it.
Weren't you at the game Sunday?
Yeah.
Then what more do you need to see?
The run game was going too good.
Oh man,
those four straight three and outs. That's what it was. The run game was running too good.
Omar Hope Kelly.
We'll go with that.
Listen, Linda.
What flavor is that Kool-Aid you're drinking, by the way?
Hawaiian. At some point.
Hawaiian punch. Very good.
At some point, he is going to flash the quarterback that we know. At some point this season.
Don't think it's going to be Monday night. I'm not saying you're wrong. Maybe against Cincinnati. Maybe against Tampa Bay.
At some point in the final four games, he got to do something that says, I am salvageable. If not, man, it's time to move on. It's time. I mean, it probably is time to start exploring options.
Start exploring options. Yes. Yes, that was 2 years ago, but yes, it's time to start exploring options.
2 years ago in 2023, you're a liar. You are a liar.
Well, listen, man, one thing I will tell you, we do have an amazing sponsor for the channel, which is Sleeper. And since Omar is holding out hope, let's go ahead and put it to the test, Omar, okay? Let's find out from you right now what you have on this game. Make sure that you take advantage of the $100 deposit match up to $100 using code HMA on Sleeper, because Omar is about to give us the winning ticket, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start with Tua, Omar. 198.5 yards is Tua's line, Omar. Over or under? How much hope you got?
Under.
Oh, boo.
Money's on the line. I'm not lying to you. Money's on the line. It's going to be a cold game. They're going to lead on the run game.
Wow.
He might give me 181.
Oh, so you're not going to see what you're hoping for in this game with a 181 then?
It's not about the yardage. It's about the touchdown, third down efficiency, execution in the red zone, turn opportunities into touchdowns, points.
Man, oh, man, y'all let us know in the chat. Will Tua go over 198.5 or will he be under?
That 198 is hard, man. That 198 is a little hard. If you gave me 185, I'd have been like, you know, hey, all right. I think it's like 180-something.
180. What about you, Allen? What do you have on that line?
Yeah.
Under. Well,
Tua,
I have.
Tua hasn't reached it. And during the winning streak.
Wow. He reached 200. Four games in a row.
Correct.
It's just four games.
Shador.
Four games, they look really good.
Anyway. All right, what about A-Chain, though? Because this is where all the attention lies. When you really look at it, they have him at 80.5. Ribs a little banged up. What y'all thinking there?
That's dangerous with those ribs because he takes one shot in the wrong place and his night might be done.
Yeah,
dangerous.
I'm definitely going under because I'm being cautious. I can't break A-Chan's ribs. And if a good team, they're attacking the ribs. Sorry, this is football. It's a gladiator sport. I attack your weaknesses. I'm leaning my shoulders, elbows, everything into your rib cage on the pile. So So if you want to keep playing, know we keep coming.
Well, this is an interesting one, and I want to tell everybody now, you may want to get in on this one because this might be the sleeper pick that might hit easily. Jalen Wright, 18 and a half.
18 and a half yards.
Coming off of a 100-yard game, he might get some more play.
Give me Ollie's numbers. You got some numbers for Ollie?
They don't even have them listed.
They might go Ollie this week, and you never know. I'd go over with Jalen Wright.
Do you really regress on Jalen Wright and go Ollie and not let him pick up where he left off?
It was a great story last week. I'm not a believer. I'm a believer in Ollie. I'm not a believer. I'm sorry.
He's a believer in Tua. I wish you gave Jalen Wright the benefit of the doubt the way you do Tua. That would be fair and nice.
I'd have to have seen it from Jalen Wright, which I haven't.
You did last week.
I saw him produce behind a line that was paving highways for him.
New England game. That's fair. New England game last year. He had like 95 yards.
Man scored his first touchdown last week.
Well, I'm all over the Jalen Wright. I'm all over the Jalen Wright 18 and a half. I just think that's a must take.
Does Greg Dulcich have a number two?
Dulcich on the passing, on the receiving. Actually 18 and a half.
I'd want to play
it. Man, for both of those guys in that lineup.
Right now, there's nobody hotter in this offense than Greg Dulcich.
Man, take advantage of it, ladies and gentlemen. Sleepers give you that $100 deposit match.
I have to learn how to say his name.
Dulcich.
Savainaya. Sorry, go ahead.
I got Savainaya now. I got
no, you just said Savainaya. Savainaya.
Savainaya.
That's funny.
Well, listen, if you want to actually go to the game, 18 degrees, make sure that you check out our sponsor, SeatGeek. Now, I was supposed to go to the Cincinnati Bengals game on Sunday night, but they flexed it. So I'm telling y'all now, I've already looked at it. You might want to go on SeatGeek, use code FINS10 to get those Bengals tickets. They are at all-time low. Take advantage of it, all right? For 10% off your tickets with SeatGeek, FINS10, all right? Take advantage of it, FINS10. Get in with SeatGeek. Now, all the events, you got concerts, everything you want to find, you can go to SeatGeek. Supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel. Now, speaking of A-Chain, guys, A-Chain, I keep saying chain. I've been saying chain for the longest. Speaking of A-Chain, talk to me, man. Is there any concern about the ribs, or do you think he's fine?
I'm concerned. Ribs don't just heal overnight. I told y'all I broke my ribs in July, and they healed probably end of November, and it was a hairline fracture. Them things hurt, especially when you sleep. You sleep, you breathe. I don't play like the fact that I know. Jay Cutler, I used to make fun of him because after he broke his ribs and came back and played, he played hot potato with the ball. He just won the ball out of his hand. Mm-hmm. And then Skylar Thompson trying to play with broken ribs. Man, after I broke my ribs, I had a great deal of respect for people who play with broken ribs because that is crazy.
And the other part of it, like I said before, if he takes a shot in the wrong place, that thing's going to aggravate pretty quickly.
And I know plenty of defenders who's going for them rib cages, that rib cage.
Cameron Hayward.
He has spoken as if he could have came right back in the game. You know, the ball called.
Yeah, that shot up. And I saw the shot. I shot a shot placement. Wow. That shot up. And he'll play shot up too. But, I mean, it's all.
And I know he wants to play because he's doing nothing but impacting his next contract more and more. The more production he gets on the field right now. So you're going to get the best version of him regardless of the injury. It's just a matter of hopefully he doesn't make anything worse. If somebody does hit him in it or, you know, cause some pain. But let's get to a bigger subject that, you know, a lot of people love to talk about. I don't know why they like talk about this guy. But he's been struggling this year. You know,
we already talked about him. We're going to keep going back to him.
Yeah, because we need to know, can he shake the struggles? And, you know, we'll lead off with his new agent, Omar Kelly. Talk to us, man. Can he?
I don't think he like me anymore.
He should, considering how much you go to bat for him.
No, I also ask him hard questions, like, why do you suck this year? And, you know, I mean.
I will say this, Omar. I've listened to the press conferences, and I've said, look at Omar, boy, putting pressure on. Because those questions are a little pointed. And nothing's wrong with it.
I ask pointed questions to everybody else, I got to ask pointed questions to him.
But what he's not telling you, though, is he's texting two other questions the night before. So he's
if I did, I would have expected a better answer than what I
got. Oh, my God.
Because he said he is rushing his process. Mm-hmm. And I'm still, like, trying to calibrate what that means. And I even asked him, like, is this a chemistry thing? And I know he's not going to want to.
No.
He's not going to throw anybody under the bus, even though there are people.
Not anymore.
He just wanted them to practice and show up for meetings more often.
Yeah.
And do the extra work on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
But even without chemistry, he's making a lot of bad reads.
He is making a lot of bad throws, too.
Yeah.
He is making a lot of bad reads. He's making a lot of bad throws. He's making a lot of interceptions. This is not, but let's acknowledge, this is not the tool we know.
Right. That's fair.
I know it's not the tool we know, but again, I'm not trying to sit here and say that my theory on this is correct, but it keeps adding up for me, man. It's like,
it does.
And this is what I'm saying. I think because we were operating a timing offense, and Kurt Warner said it best. He said, when you're doing that timing offense, you're putting it in the spot. And everybody said it. It's a trust game, right? Mm-hmm. But it can still get you in trouble because it's also a little bit of guessing.
Yes.
You know, because you have to make the throw before a guy comes out of his break, which means a defender can make the same move as your receiver and get you.
Yes.
And I personally think that this year, because he said something very pointed earlier in the season, it's different this year. He said this like in week four. It's different this year because I'm doing something new that I haven't even done since mini camps. But it was the first time doing it in mini camps. And I am telling you now, it's actually processing the field and going through the reads. Mike McDaniel has an offense that gives you 1-2 or 1-2-3 reads, depending on like what the linebacker or the safety does.
Absolutely.
Linebacker does that, bam.
That's RPO based. He's a specialist in
Yes.
that.
But now I believe Mike is realizing it's having success, but it'll never get you over the hump. Because you still put the ball at risk because the ball has to leave before you even know it's open sometimes.
That's his game, though.
But Mike is getting – yes, but that game can only get you but so far because in the big games against great scheme teams, they're going to bait you into it. And that's what a lot of his interceptions, they give him the look he want, then they cover it up, but the ball's on the way.
That's every defense. Every defense.
Or
they're going to reroute the receivers.
Unless you're reading progressions and actually going through and reading the defense as well. And I think that's what Tua is trying to do at a next level. And it's a struggle.
I think teams, we've heard about the first read. We've heard about take the first read from him, and mm-hmm. then he struggles. And Tua has hinted that's a footwork issue thing for me. It's all coming off that read, adjusting, buying time, improvising, connecting with my receiver on an improvised route. That's not good. Now, we also know the not making excuses, so let's not.
The offensive line sucks, the wide receivers suck, the running backs suck, and the scheme sucks. But we're not.
No, I didn't say the running backs suck. don't put words in my mouth. Offensive line is great at pass run blocking.
Mm-hmm.
They're okay at pass protection. He's gotten worse in terms of evading pressure. He has. No, he has. He has no evadability at this moment, and that is new. Chemistry with his weaponry. How many players would you say he has chemistry with, Poupart?
Again, I understand that. You're making it sound like, but again, he's
a acknowledge it as a fact. Let's acknowledge it as a fact.
It was dependent more so than most quarterbacks on everything around him clicking.
Okay.
Like this. He's like a point guard. He's got to have Michael Jordan on the wings.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well.
Absolutely. And he needs everybody to know the offense, and they got to run the triangle right, and they got to be in their right places. How many people are doing it? Michael Jordan was running the triangle in Washington. Did it look good?
There's some guys getting open though, Omar.
Ooh.
There's guy when you watch the film. Ooh. There's opportunities. The problem is he start tapping those feet after that first or 1.5 read.
That's fine. That's true.
And here's the thing. If it's not after that first read, it's no longer timing for him. It's no longer timing. And the problem is he'll see it, but since he saw it, oh, I got it up too late.
Too late. I can't get my foot in position.
Yeah, like right. Everything has to be hike. 1, 2, 3. Put it in the spot.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hitch spot. It has to be on timing. You take that timing away, he'll make some. Don't get me wrong. He will make some, right? But it's not consistent enough. And that's the big problem with Tua. And here's another thing that I think people need to start realizing now. We always complained about the O-line not giving him time. I've said it since his rookie year, and the numbers back it up. The longer he has to throw the ball, the worse he gets, actually. The worse the numbers are. This is, at this point, it's proven. It was the problem in the past, it was such a small sample size of those opportunities. And the numbers said it wasn't good, but you couldn't use it because it was a small size. What do we say today? I mean,
you can't make any excuse today outside of he has no chemistry with Darren Waller. He's developing chemistry with Greg Dulcich.
Dulcich.
He's developing chemistry with Greg Dulcich. He has chemistry with Waddle. Teams take that away from him. Mm-hmm. They put Achan in some of the Tyreek Hill plays, but when he's not in Tyreek Hill plays, it becomes Malik Washington, who we all know is.
But he has chemistry with Malik Washington.
He does. Well, why don't they have Malik Washington actually play wide receiver instead of gadget guy, which is what, you know, maybe, and I get it. Maybe he's
physical attributes to play a pure wide receiver position.
Probably. It's just a very bad receiving core. And Cedric, to the point where and you know how I feel about Cedric Wilson. I'm all on board with him becoming a starter. Like, it's that bad. Like,
this receiving core has to be one of the worst in the league. I mean, and not, well, maybe.
Without Tyreek Hill, might be one of the worst in Dolphins history.
Well, what? What?
Without Tyreek Hill, might be one of the worst in Dolphins history.
I mean, I don't think it's worse than
2007.
What a Jakeem Grant, Mike Gesicki time in that era. It's about the same, isn't it?
Nah, yeah, he had in his first year, he had Waddle.
He got him now.
Devontae Parker.
That's probably the difference.
Matt Higgins.
Who?
Not Matt Higgins. What's the crazy one with the afro that I like? Hollins, Mac Hollins.
The crazy one with the afro.
Mac Hollins.
Young Hollins.
Isaiah Ford and Jakeem Grant. That unit.
Gesicki.
And Gesicki. That unit might outperform this unit.
You might be right. You might be right.
Because you had Devontae, who was going to be hurt half the season, was not going to run good routes, but at least he can get a jump ball. Devontae contributed for you. You had Gesicki, a liability in pass game. But there
are other teams that have like bad receivers. Who would Washington have when they play the Dolphins?
Oh yeah, absolutely nobody.
I mean, there's quarterbacks doing more with less out here now.
Thank you. I mean, that's the point. And again, and you're also paying $54 million a year to rise above the fact that he might not have a very good wide receiver core right now.
I mean, I think Shedeur Sanders would do more with less.
You had to hit me below the belt with the money, huh? You had to hit me below the belt with the money.
Because it's not, again, that's not his fault.
That, they should take points off your. They should take points off that round from you. Because that was a below the belt hit. I'm sorry. Why? Why is it necessary? Mm.
Because he cannot, because whether we like it or whether you like it or not, my friend, he cannot be judged purely on what's around him, because being that he takes up more cap space than anybody in the roster, he is supposed to elevate players, not have players around him elevate him.
He also has a $28 million wide receiver and a $35 million wide receiver. But it's all his fault, right?
I never said it was all his fault.
Okay.
Just like it wasn't all him when he was putting up the big numbers.
Didn't say it was all him when he was putting up the big numbers.
Really?
I Tyreek was my
ABD. Passer rating.
I did screen passer rating. I'm a big believer in passer rating. Let me look up where he is right now in passer rating.
He's in the 80s. So.
Yeah, I know he's in the 80s, but where is he ranked?
21 or something like that. Mm.
Oh, you hear Omar searching. Omar's searching that up, let's get into the last topic. What does the final four games mean for the Dolphins?
Everything. Sorry. That's my professional, in case for those not aware.
So how important are these last four games? How important are these last four 26. Games, Alan? 26?
26.
Okay. 26th in passer rating?
26th in passer rating.
Damn.
Spencer Rattler has a higher pass rating than Tua.
Leads the NFL in turnover worthy plays, if you believe in that stat. That's a pro
23 player. Turnover worthy plays.
Correct. TWP.
Gruden laid that out this week.
TD, to answer your question, the final four games, what they mean is the final referendum on Mike McDaniel's status as a head coach. And my take on this is beyond final record. Mike McDaniel has to show that the formula that the Dolphins have switched to in this four-game winning streak can produce results in December against good opposition. Okay. Because if it doesn't, that's the pure definition of status quo, and Stephen Ross said that would not be acceptable.
I'm so glad you said that, because I've been listening to everybody, the new genius of Mike McDaniel transitioning the offense. There's no question there's a transition. But now it's going to be tested.
Correct.
I'm very skeptical on saying, look at what he was able to do. Now you have a test to see if it's a facade or not. Mm-hmm. And then these four games will tell us that. So I'm just one of those individuals. I've been very reserved on all the hit pieces y'all have been putting out and everything on this new offense. The test is here. Let's find out if it's really legit or not. And that will go a long way for me, because this is what I've been asking for. If the passing game is broken, where's the genius to recreate? We might have it, but now let's see if it's legitimate or not.
I've been very firm on my stance that they have to produce a winning record for me to be okay with Mike McDaniel coming back. That means you have to win, what is it, three? Of the final four?
Does it have to, though, Omar? Here's why I'm asking you that. Because Mike McDaniel, say we go out here in the last four. The new reinvented run game takes off and is doing well. Mm-hmm. But we do drop a game or two because, and I'm not picking on him, but legitimately, the quarterback play is blowing it in two of these games. Do we tie that to McDaniel? Are we tying Tua and McDaniel together like that?
Yes, but if we are tying Tua and McDaniel together, then that means McDaniel's coming back, because Tua would not have success without McDaniel. And now, while I'd be okay with McDaniel picking another quarterback and developing him, I do believe in slow cooking quarterbacks. I don't believe in microwaving them. I'm a little bit concerned that one, assistants would flee.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Anthony Weaver would take a head coach position, and I don't know where that's going to go.
You'll be good at it.
I really don't see that many openings coming up this round. It's going to scare off GMs. GMs are not going to want to enter this situation not being able to immediately pick their head coach and immediately pick their quarterback. So, and while I love that this team has rallied and fought behind him and fought for him, I don't have confidence that they can do it again in 2026 without some significant reinforcements. And if I am a free agent player, I look at that Mike McDaniel situation, unless you're drastically overpaying me, and I say thanks, but no thanks.
And I'm not sure we're in a 2026 overpay situation for big fish.
Steve Ross has closed the pocketbook in the first year of every single head coach's first season. The pocketbook has been put away, and he spends in the second year of every coach's season. So
you like that?
Yeah, I mean it. That's just the norm for him. They want to see what they have, and I'd be okay if they run it back at 8-9. I'm fine with it. But
you just said you didn't need a winning record.
I wouldn't support it. I would not support it. 8-9, Mike McDaniel has to be back. 9-8, do whatever you want, but this is not going to work.
Well, you mean the other way around.
No.
9-8 is coming back, and 8-9, you do whatever you want.
No. Yes, 9-8, he's got to come back. He needs to come back. Okay. He deserves. He has earned that season.
Okay.
8-9, do what you want, but you're setting yourself up for failure because you're going to pick your fourth GM like you did the last two times.
No, It's going to be Champ Kelly.
Yeah, you're just going to settle and settle and settle.
No, it's when it's going to be, it's going to be, okay, guys, you have 1 year.
Okay, who comes in that situation?
Somebody's gonna
like desperate.
Well, yeah.
Like, that's not good.
Like the people who came in this situation.
Yeah, but there are a couple of them that worked out. The ones last year worked out, actually, not this year. But if they go 8-9, that means they win two of their final four games. Let's say they beat, if it's somebody other than Cincinnati, if they beat Tampa Bay and New England, or if they beat Pittsburgh and New England, or Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay, that kind of validates the fact that maybe they have found a formula that can win again in December.
That's cute, but you're still 8-9. You're still
sad. And it can't be a 8-9 or 9-8 where the Patriots are in a position to rest their starters.
They're not. They lose a tiebreaker.
I'm not throwing in factors.
I'm saying if Denver loses a game or two and the Patriots are in the driver's seat.
I'm not throwing in factors. You know why? Because in 5 years, when I look back at the record, I'm not going to factor in, oh, this team didn't play anybody at the final season game. I don't care.
Okay. Well, we got to get to the super chats, but I have an impromptu topic before we get into them. What's your thoughts on a potential Joe Burrow being available and Miami, you know, coming around that wheel again and making that attempt? What's your thoughts on it? Is it something that if he does become available, you have to do, or what's your sentiments on it?
You can have my whole draft.
Well, what do you mean by that?
What are you going to have, two $50 million quarterbacks on the roster?
Nah, I'd figure out something to do with Tua. But you can have my whole draft. I don't care. Joe Burrow is, yes, he's probably less durable than Tua, but he's a different caliber of quarterback. We would argue he's probably top five.
Yeah.
Those are hard to come by.
Wait a second. Wait. Weren't you saying at the beginning of the year you didn't have him as elite?
He's not elite, but he's still top five.
He's top
five. You're absolutely right. I do not consider him elite because he has not stayed healthy. He has not done anything other than take a team to the Super Bowl. He did not win it.
And they went to the AFC Championship game the following year and would have gone back to the Super Bowl if not for a kind of a shaky penalty.
Don't remember that.
Omar, yeah, I was just going to say, Omar probably don't even remember.
I don't remember that. Listen. Would I put him in the elite category?
I'm sorry. Let's have the factor also is, with all due respect, with the Cincinnati Bengals organization, which ain't exactly the Baltimore Ravens in terms of quality of front
office. I mean, what was his little tantrum about anyway? Can somebody get to the bottom of it?
Well, yeah, he, you know, he's one of those intellects, you know, and thinks about everything he says. And he was sitting there on the podium basically telling everybody that if I'm not having fun playing, then what am I playing for? And, you know, it's just something he has to think about.
All right, so what, you want more money?
No, it's not money.
He wants the Bengals to give him better help. On
yeah, he wants to win. He wants to win. And he's unhappy right now.
All right, you play for the Bengals. Like, that's been a problem for 20 years. You still play for the Bengals.
Which is why it's impressive that he went to two AFC championship games, including one Super Bowl. I mean, dude, seriously?
He's also got the best wide receiving core in the NFL.
Oh, my. Did
does he not?
Did we not want to have one of the best?
Well, one of them.
Yeah. And couldn't win a playoff game? Getting sacked 10 times that season, by the way, in a game, in the playoffs.
All to his fault. Everything's to his fault.
To answer your question, T, is, and here's the thing, too. Now he's trying to downplay Burrow because we're kind of suggesting he's better than Tua. And then but Omar would give up the entire draft for Burrow.
I've never said Burrow and Tua are on the same plane. That is not what I've ever said.
Okay. Good.
What I said was he is not in the elite upper stratosphere. Him and Dak Prescott, they're right there. They're close.
Yeah, so you don't buy the 50 coaches, general managers, NFL personnel people who in the ballot put him, and there was one other, it may have been Mahomes, the only two named by every single solitary NFL personnel as tier one.
He got the dog in him. No denying it. No, absolutely no denying. I remember, what game was he playing for another team? Was it? He played, I think it was a Hurricanes. He like started a game against the Hurricanes for somebody, LSU. No, it was Ohio State or something. I don't know.
I think it was his first year at LSU, if I recall.
First year at LSU. That boy balled. I'm like, who this? So I've never not been a Burrow fan. He just can't stay healthy. And you know, just like y'all, I know he puts up a lot of points. I get it. But your team's still not winning.
But you just said you'd trade the entire draft for him.
I would, because I know how hard it is to get that kind of talent.
But stop knocking him. You're like, because all you're doing is saying the bad things about him. But yes, I'd still trade the entire draft.
I'd trade the entire draft for Joe Burrow. I mean, for Justin Herbert. But
he's in trouble.
He's all right, but I know what it is. It's if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance.
Yeah,
and I don't believe in draft picks anymore. Like,
correct, and that's why I agree with you.
You can have them. They never done nothing for this team. Like,
yeah, I had the sentiment of I traded all for Joe Burrow, but then I thought about it and I said, no, I wouldn't trade anything for him at this point because he scares me in this sense. He's like the guy that can Andrew Luck you. Well, imagine trading your whole draft and play one season and say,
Dude, you don't know that.
That man is talking about losing his passion for the game.
We don't know that. That's my problem.
I agree with you, TD. He's talking about the fact he's losing his passion for the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I take those words because we're in a
rehab. The blame.
It was a brainiac who had like a lot of different things to fall back on.
He lost his passion for football.
Correct. I think Joe Burrow is more of a baller than Andrew Luck.
Burrow just said he just lost his passion. He's losing his passion for football.
No, he said he needs to be happy when he goes to the. And he's frustrated by the circumstances.
Well, will he be happy in Miami? I guess that's the question.
But
you know what I would do? You know what I would do? I would take a second round pick, and I would call the Cleveland Browns.
Everybody,
I'll go get the next goat, Shedeur Sanders.
Who? You talking about?
I go get Shedeur Sanders, man. Allen, man, don't sleep on it. That's the steal.
Allen don't want nothing to do with anybody named Sanders.
I'll take Barry Sanders, even at his age.
Yeah. Oh, you'll take Barry Sanders? Yes. Allen has hated Deion Sanders for 20 some years. He is definitely gonna hate every offspring.
Don't put it on his son.
Yeah.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Stop
telling me how great you are. My eyes can see it. I don't need you to tell me
first
that
every first rookie since Joe Burrow to do what he did.
We do. What is it he did?
Listen, I'm watching every week. I want to see it. I want to see it. Like, I respect the fact that he's been denied. I love that his coach hates him, and he still can't. He can't deny. I love that.
You know what I love about Shador, though? At the podium, he not going to tour it up. He says all the right things at the podium. He understands what to say at the podium. When, like, he don't like his coach, controversial questions, everything. Yeah. He ain't got it wrong yet.
Tua has a truth serum. Tua does.
I know.
It's not intentional. It's just.
I get it though, because I respect that about Tua, but it's also like, man, like, you know,
All right,
let's get into these super chats, because we appreciate everybody who donates their hard-earned money to support what we're doing on the collective, helping us grow bigger and better and what we're doing. Listen, man, and Alan, whenever you have to roll, good stuff, man. I will see you on Tuesday. All right.
I will, and then I'm going to try to rejoin you in 2 seconds, but I got to roll for now. So,
all right, cool. We'll see you in a little bit. So you got me and Omar going to steer the ship and see how we do. Man, we're going to have a split screen like this because I don't know all the ins and outs. But here we go. MB34012 said, if Joe requests a trade, are y'all down for the trade? We kind of just answered that.
Absolutely.
I think everybody is. I'm still down for it, but it's a risk. Because of those comments, because he has everything he needs. It's not like he's desperate or anything.
I'm down for Deshaun Watson now too.
For the right price.
For the right price. I'm not paying a king's ransom, but I agree.
Ian Mason says, so it's gang up on Omar Day. It's all to, oh my gosh. Y'all feeding into a narrative behind the scenes that he say all the time. We gang up on him. Ain't nobody ganging up on him. We just trying to help Omar, all right?
Bring me to the light, huh? Yeah, okay.
Congrats to my fellow New Jersey Dolphin DDW on the baby. Yes, again, make sure y'all go show DDW some love. All you got to do is go in his comment section, say congratulations, we love you.
I want to see him hold up the baby like the Lion King. the Dolphins uniform.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You got to give that to me. To Dougley. Yeah.
He probably will do it, too.
Yes.
RJJJR says, sorry, I missed a few streams, but my schedule doesn't line up with you, judgy bastards. Hope you fellas are doing well.
We got to come up with a judgy bastards emoji.
Yeah, we're going to get a shirt made, man. Merch coming soon. Ian, back again, said, Alan, on your podcast, and as you just said, Tomlin calls the defense. Why doesn't it evolve? Why would you want him as coach if he refuses to evolve?
Because consistency is the key to success.
Yeah. And I think it's a prerequisite. You know, you get a coach that's consistent like that, then you want to attack the talent to make it happen.
I don't see him. Only fault I have in Tomlin is I don't know how well he is. Because if I'm Tomlin, I'm not going anywhere unless you give me all power.
Yeah.
I'm worthy. I'm deserving. I pick my staff. I pick everything. But I don't know how well he is at picking the groceries. I assume he picks the groceries and has an influence in picking the groceries. And I know Omar Khan, so I'm certain of that. But if you take everybody else out the equation, will he be a stud or will he be like Nick Saban?
Would that bode well for, like, if Tomlin came available and the Dolphins wanted to pursue him, would that bode well for Kelly being new in a position where it's like a shared thing, you don't have full control to ease him into his job?
It probably might help him because I don't know if he has any connections to Kelly or respect to Kelly. I personally think it would be a hard sell. If Tomlin is available, he's going to have four or five teams lined up for his services.
Yeah,
I'm not looking at the Miami Dolphins and saying, oh, yeah, that's that team right there. That's what I want.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless his family loves Miami and wants to come down here, and his daughter or whatever, or son wants to go to UM or whatever. Tomlin is probably going to seek a football team and football environment.
Well, on that, Omar, do you think, because I think there's a coaching staff that could get fired this year that nobody's talking about, and that's the Bengals.
I don't know. I don't know. And I wouldn't.
But I'm the reason why I brought that up, you don't think the Steelers would let his rights go to a division rival? Tomlin Bengals. You don't think they'll ever let that happen, right?
What'd you say?
Tomlin to the Bengals. You don't think they'll ever let that happen?
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
All right.
Yeah, and they would maintain control. I think the Giants, or I think Tennessee.
Got it. Casey said, Omar, hypothetically, if the season ends today and Tua was a free agent, what do you think he would get on the open market? To a free agent, going around to get a deal. How much? AAV, fake money.
Free agent on open market.
I think 25.
Twenty. Right. I would say conservative. He's coming off his worst season. So maybe 15-20.
15-20.
15 with incentives.
Isn't that kind of like what Justin Fields got? You don't think it's a little more than that?
Isn't that kind of like what Justin Fields got?
I think in a 25.
You're selling youth on Fields. Tua's coming off his worst year, man. Tua's coming off his worst year. That's impossible to kind of prognosticate.
Devin True, thanks for the love. Then we have Ian said, why is no one talking about the Jags defense? Second in the league in takeaways, and Lawrence is starting to look legit. He's won a playoff game, too. I'm just not a believer in Trevor Lawrence.
I am not either.
And I don't think he's a major reason why they've been winning. Yes, he has been playing better the last few weeks, but every quarterback has their runs. But we'll find out.
He's like Josh Allen to me, where he's just – inconsistent, and
but not Josh Allen.
Yeah, and maybe he can fix that. Maybe he can clean that up. I've just never been a big believer. Now he's got to do it in the playoffs for me to start to be sold. But I never liked him. I saw Tua beat him. I'm lose to him in Clemson, and I still prefer Tua. But you know, that's old news.
Well, Casey said, Merry Christmas. Thank you all for a great show. Question for all, ranking Dolphins contracts. Are we at a point where we could classify Tua's contract the worst ever in Dolphin history?
Nah.
Worst ever?
Nah. Most expensive ever, yeah, but not worst ever. It's the biggest contract they've ever given.
Don't make it the worst?
Huh? No. I could give you Jabril Wilson. I could give you Jake Grove. I could give you Justin Smiley. These are all guys who lasted 1 year here and walked away with huge bags because, you know, just Jabril Wilson, man, he signed a massive safety, top five safety deal, and his teammates hated him, and he had to go. Like, that was how bad. I've never been here where your teammates hate you. Like, Jabril Wilson was that dude. Like,
worst contract. Who was the wide receiver not too long ago? Maybe caught one pass or dropped it in the back of the end zone.
Ernest Wolford? Oh, no. Will Fuller.
Will Fuller, yeah. That was bad.
That was a guy that didn't want to play football.
Got paid. All right, Steelers fans don't have crazy high standards. They want a playoff win. Same as Dolphin fans. Tomlin hasn't been able to deliver that in almost a decade.
I know Steelers fans personally and Steelers fans in the media, And they, a lot of people have hated Mike Tomlin for 3 years and wanted him fired for 3 years.
Yeah, it's been a rumor for three
years.
They want
more than a playoff win. They want championships there. That is the standard. That is their culture. And while he's kept them above water, that what they really need to do is they really need to rebuild. They won't, though, with Tomlin there. And that's probably what they need to do.
And how do you when you're always good enough not to be good enough?
I mean, you get a young quarterback and you just start developing them, and you get cheap and you develop, and you trade players for draft picks and you develop, and they're really good at developing. So that coaching staff, I don't know what Tomlin's next coaching staff will be like, but I believe in Tomlin. I believe in his staff. I'm sorry. You can't have that much success in 18 years and not be a good coach.
Yeah. True. If Finn,
I feel sorry for the person who replaces Mike Tomlin.
I bet very high standards for that person. If Finn's and Tua plays well, what does TD say? Thanks for playing well. Good job. And thanks for getting a little bit of trade value up. That's what I would say. The Tua that's 8-20 versus teams with the winning record in his career, that Tua, he will for sure show up this season.
No comment.
Can we call 911 for a wellness check on Omar?
Listen, the Tua that is 8-20 versus winning teams is a Tua that's leading the Miami Dolphins, who are also 8-20 versus winning teams, who struggle with protection issues, who struggle with dropping balls, who can't run the ball against competition, who can't deliver turnovers, who can't close on sacks, who can't stop the run against those winning teams.
Well, they can change the narrative in these next four games, at least.
It's not just on Tua.
It's not. This team never prepared for those moments either, all the way through. Dolphins should move everything to get Burrow. Do you think the Dolphins trade for Shadur in the offseason? No, but that would be amazing for the salary cap.
That totally depends on who is running the organization.
Yeah.
I have no idea who would be running the organization.
And the Browns not. They're going to keep him.
It's going to be a survival of the fittest in that organization, because I think they're the GM and the head coach are at war.
They are. And I think they're going to pick the GM. I think Stefanski is going to be gone.
I think Stefanski is going to be gone as well. I think he's going to be
available. Shadur stays.
And I'm also going to say I have no interest in him.
In who?
Stefanski.
Oh, yeah. Not at all. Not at all.
I know he's like a two-time coach of the year. I'm sorry. I'm good. I don't see anything appealing about him as a coach.
930-90 up. This for Allen, and he ain't here. At Pitt, 28-6. The Fins dominate by ground, running for 122 and 3 touchdowns while holding the Steelers to just 41 rushing yards. Time of possession was 2-1. Jeff Cross, 3 sacks. Fins, 3 interceptions. And Allen would have added about 4 or 5 extra points to that in that game.
Context.
Yeah, you know, the kicker that actually kicked that, you know, his son's mother, uncle's name is Tagovailoa.
I couldn't help you on any of that. 1990, yeah. I was in what, 8th grade, 7th grade.
Yeah. Tua's learning a new offense, Omar.
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous. I can't even justify that with a comment, because I've watched this offense for 4 years now, and it's the same damn offense. Maybe the terminology is a little bit different. The players in it are different. The motions are less. The dynamic playmaker is gone.
Still the same fundamental.
Still the same fundamental stuff.
Yeah.
Never going to use that excuse.
Yeah, guys, I could listen to you all 8 days a week. At this time of year, hold your loved ones close and remember those we lost. Poop, my love to you. My kids, Bella and Ollie, and I send you our thoughts. All you have is love. X from Aussie. God bless. Thank you for the love, man. We appreciate that big time. Ian said, if the Fins finish 9-8, how does Ross justify keeping this sinking ship afloat?
Because they produced a winning record despite a ton of adversity, never quit on the coaching staff, and actually showed you a formula that wins.
Missing playoffs, no playoffs, wins is same status quo for last 25 years. Yeah, Ross will just have to draft up a different memo that contradicts his one last year. That's all. Only way I see a mildly successful 2026 is to dedicate draft and free agent resources to making the defense top five. The offense isn't curable anytime soon.
I'm not.
Only thing you can bet on with the Dolphins are young players' growth.
Can you bet on that?
We can't say we can't.
Okay.
But I know what you mean. I'm probably there with you if I think.
And especially if you lose some coaches, because coaches' contracts are up, and some people might be leaving for more secure situations.
Yeah.
That you, coaches aren't hostages. They know
what's happening. And the crazy, even if they keep McDaniel, some of these coaches might be gone.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, because they can't make any guarantees to them long term. Whew, the mess. All right, Noel B. gifted 5 collective memberships. Thank you so much, Noel. Unfortunately, I can't go back. Oh, yes, I can. Lucky me. Nate Coos, Whiskey News, Sean Williams 5911, JC Fins 20, and Mudbone 4941. Was blessed with the membership thanks to Noel B. If you are a member to the channel, you have the opportunity to gift others who may not be able to become one. So you can do your part as well, helping the collective family grow. Thank you so much, Noel B. Dolphin Fan 02 said, look at the playoff QBs. Numbers since 2000. It's rough. I have to look into it. You guys are the best, said Ricky Rodriguez. No, you're the best for supporting what we're doing, man. Absolutely. And we are less than 75 away from 10K. So it's crazy, man.
Let's get to 10K next week, baby.
Yes, I believe we will. That way you let your friends and family members know. I looked up the analytics. There's a whopping 40% of y'all that watch the show that's not subscribed. I know some of y'all be boycotting TD. I know some of y'all be boycotting Omar, Doug, Allen. We all got boycotters. Man, this is where you get a piece of your representation no matter what, man.
It's a round table, man. It's everybody comes with their unique perspective, thoughts, views. And that's the thing. When you talk things out, like, I'm sorry. I'll admit it. TD helped me see two in a new light. I did.
Well, let me time something. This is the clip it.
You did. Y'all, like, you know,
109.
While I am opposed to mobile quarterbacks, right now, if you cannot improvise and make plays happen, you're ducking the water.
Unless you have other elite traits, you know, like arm strength or things or like
big
that.
Body and running.
Yeah, big ability. Body to absorb.
Yeah. And unfortunately right now, I would probably rank Tua bottom 5 in terms of improvisational skills. Well, and that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's really crazy.
Tua's the type of quarterback at this point in his career, you really do have to have a like top 3 wall in front of him.
Run game
got to be what it is now.
Tight end.
You have to have the tight end and the consistent weapons and a big weapon, you know, on the outside, like a bigger frame.
I think he needs a slot possession receiver. I'm not a slot. A big split end who can run crisp routes, can run slants.
The ultimate possession guy.
And that's the thing. It's like, I was watching, I can't remember what game I was watching. It might have been Tampa. It's Tampa. And I'm watching Baker Mayfield throw 15-yard outs. And I'm thinking to myself, and I like Baker Mayfield, always do, always did. I'm thinking to myself, Tua can't do that.
Tua throws a post well. 20-yard, I mean, people think it's an out, but he throws a post because it gets to hang a little longer to get there.
Yeah.
But the 15 out, the 12 out, those. And I've seen some 5-7s, and I've actually liked them. I've seen a few 5-7 outs.
He got to be running to it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and people underestimate just that 15-yard out, how important that is in this
league. It is.
It is very important.
Tannehill ate off that his entire rookie season.
I remember that because I remember that.
He went in the middle of the field.
Tannehill's rookie season was traumatizing to me, not because of Tannehill. It was the quarterbacks of the past. You know how we watching at home the game? You probably don't know, but when you're watching a game at home, a quarterback slings it and you know it's going to be an outside 15-yarder. Mm-hmm. And you don't see what's happening at the 15-yard area until the camera followed the ball. It was like okay. I did that so much until I got used to, okay, he can do this.
Yeah.
Because the past quarterbacks, that was always, is a defender about to six this? Mm-hmm. So it was traumatizing for me, man. I realized you can have trauma from a long, sustainable period of bad play at the position with certain throws. It's crazy. I
definitely got a lot of trauma.
Jarvis said he said it in his interview that he has to learn new terminology. Yeah. But why would that be?
I don't know.
Like, I'm not sure if I'm really buying it, like, for the first time. It makes no sense. What new terminology you're adding to something been in place for 3 years? All right, we're going to change the terms? For who? Who's new that you need to change the terms for? Terminology.
The offense run game. It's just, I don't know. I can't even, I still have not put my finger on it. And I'm trying.
Well, last four games, we will find out more. But listen, man, we want to say thank you so much for tuning in. As always, help us continue to be bigger and better by hitting that like button. If you're watching now and you're not subscribed, fire off that subscribe button.
Let 75 subscribers from 10,000. That's a big milestone, people. Please don't underestimate how important that is for us, for channel, for advertisers. 10,000 subscribers is a huge milestone, and we would definitely appreciate you subscribing.
And so fast, which is crazy. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And honestly, thanks to everybody who's watching and supporting what we do. It's crazy when I travel now. Oh man, I watch you on The Collective, and that Omar guy always.
I told you about Home Depot, man. He's like, yeah, I love hearing you and TD argue. Like, I was like, man.
Crazy work, man. But thank y'all so much for tuning in. We love y'all. We will see y'all on Tuesday. Hopefully, Victory Tuesday. We shall see. Until next time, make sure you support the sponsors, SeatGeek and Sleeper. And don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe to the channel now. And Omar, a quick plug for what you got going on.
I have a story out about the Dolphins rookies and how they turn the corner, and that's what helped the season turn the corner. Focused mainly starting with Zeke Biggers, who was the runt of the crew. And now Zeke, y'all don't realize he playing 31 snaps on defense.
He earned them.
So
who is he
that, and then obviously I'm heading up to Pittsburgh tomorrow. So to be there for that Monday night game. Yeah, man, I got it even packed.
Stay warm, bro. Stay warm. Yeah. Who did you, talk about who, he took snaps from?
He's taking about 10 snaps from each of the rookies, and he's actually in a package with Sealer. So it's really he is in a package with Sealer.
I'll go check the article out now. I want to see this. But yeah. But thanks so much for coming through. We love y'all. Peace. We are out. Oh.